The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas, on this Saturday, May 20th, 2023. We've got a packed show again for you, my friends. It is an ongoing battle here on the border, my friends. We've got four guests that are going to tell you what is happening since the lifting of Title 42 last week, and what is anticipated, what is going on. We need to understand that this situation with Title 42 was only one chapter, one small chapter, and there is still a Title 8 being enforced. Well, in place, should I say. Title 8 is the original law that says that anybody entering the United States illegally has got to be turned over to the Border Patrol and then deported or removed, as the wording has. However, we know that when somebody is caught, they are now given, they are not deported, but rather given a date for them to show up at a courthouse to explain why they were in the country illegally. And of course, none of them ever show up. I mean, this is the reality. Nevertheless, the Biden administration feels that this is the way to give people their due process. So it's like the criminal that you catch red-handed stealing. You then don't take them to jail. You just tell them, look, just show up for court, for sentencing, or for whatever it is that you're going to is going to happen to you. And of course, they're not going to show up. I mean, this is the reality. You know, if people were angels, we wouldn't need police. If people were angels, we would not need laws. Let's understand that. But people are not angels. Therefore, we need laws. We need law enforcement. We need police. That's the reality of it. Unfortunately, to liberals who live in la-la land, that's not a reality. And for leftists who want to destroy America, that's not convenient. So you've got the two. You've got one who wants to destroy America and the other one, and using the other one as a useful fool. You know, that's the reality that we've got. So let me tell you who we've got as guests, my friends, because it is really, really, these are really great folks that you're going to want to hear. First of all, we've got Miss Allison Anderson, who is a resident of Val Verde County. She, her husband happens to be in the Border Patrol, so she's got an inside scoop all the time. She's got inside insider's information sometimes for us. She's going to be chatting with us about what she is seeing on her property, in her community, after Title 42. She's going to be telling us about that. We then have my good friend Bob Bishop. Bob is my partner in crime on the videos that we have done regarding the Migrant Center here in San Antonio. For those of you that haven't had a chance to look at it, if you go to Bob Bishop YouTube channel or El Conservador George Rodriguez, you will find videos that we have done, interviews that we have done out at the Migrant Center of migrants, of illegal aliens coming in. Virtually none of them would qualify for asylum because they're all economic refugees. Nevertheless, there it is. It's there for you to look at. So anyway, Bob is on my show because he's going to be talking to us, my friends. He's going to be explaining what is happening with the local government and how they are helping the illegal aliens. How the local government is facilitating the invasion and colonization of America. You're going to want to hear what Bob has to say. Our next guest is Sheriff Roy Boyd from Goliad County, Texas. Sheriff Boyd has been very, very involved in Austin with the state legislature. And he's going to be chatting with us as to what the state legislature is getting ready to close up its session. And he's going to be telling us what has happened in Austin to address the border crisis. You're going to want to hear what he's got to say. Our final guest is my very good friend Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies, a regular guest with us. Todd is going to be telling you, my friends, how the heck the Biden government has been helping, yes, helping illegal aliens to know when to cross the river. Let me repeat that to you again because it's so outrageous. The Biden administration has been telling illegal aliens when they can cross the river, when it's safe. Imagine that. I mean, if that isn't collusion in the invasion, I don't know what is. So anyway, my friends, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Call your friends. Let's go to our first guest. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got our good friend, Miss Allison Anderson. She's down in the Del Rio sector and along the border. She is a resident down there, and her husband is a Border Patrol agent. So she gets to hear firsthand what's going on, not to mention she sees it firsthand. Allison, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, what since last Thursday when they lifted the Title 42, what have you been seeing and hearing? Because in some cases we're seeing a surge, in other cases we're not seeing anything. What's going on in your sector?
Yeah, so we're Del Rio sector. We live outside west of Del Rio. And, I mean, as you've seen in mainstream on the news, El Paso sector, Brownsville sectors, they have been getting hit hard with massive groups of illegals that have been crossing into the United States down in those sectors. And in Del Rio sector right now, I know that there are a lot of buses that are coming from the Brownsville area up here full of illegals to be processed and then released. So I know in Del Rio, we have seen an increase in some numbers of illegals that have been getting turned out. The NGOs were full a couple days ago. So we started seeing groups that were stacking up outside of the stripes in town and other areas where buses and things of that nature can take them out of town. But as of right now, I haven't seen any massive surge come and hit Del Rio sector yet. I know that there's a couple Border Patrol details that are still actively working in the field, which is a good thing. But I have heard, like, our local law enforcement released, they stated that they're expecting about 23,000 illegals to hit Del Rio sector, the Del Rio area. I don't know when that's supposed to be, but I know that we are expecting groups somewhere around the number of 1,000 or so per their notice to eventually hit Del Rio. Sure. I also heard that with the Operation Lone Star National Guard, their enforcement with the sea wire and basically kind of pushing groups of illegals that are crossing the river back to Mexico, those groups are also said to start pushing their way further west, which would be Del Rio sector. So last I heard, we are expecting to see large numbers start hitting Del Rio. We don't know when.
Now, as it is, though, we want to be sure that people understand that by no means has it been quiet. I mean, it continues to be a lot of people continue to come across. A lot of people continue to show up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can say, I mean, Del Rio has always been active as far as apprehensions and the gotaways. And we've always been, we have great concern with the number of gotaways and how many. I mean, Del Rio sector, I believe, has been ranging anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 gotaways on a weekly basis. So obviously, if numbers increase here of illegals crossing or turning themselves into Border Patrol and the Border Patrol gets pulled from the field, that leaves the community and outside of town wide open for the gotaways to also increase, which then increases all the smuggling that's happening too, which again, Del Rio sector has just been completely overwhelmed with the smuggling pursuits on our highways and the number of gotaways.
The pursuits on the highways, we posted a film, a video of some of an apprehension, a chase, and an apprehension that occurred on the front lawn of somebody in Uvalde, which is a good distance from the from Del Rio, from the border.
Yes.
But apparently the chases are happening deep in, they're happening in South Bexar County now here in San Antonio, and we're at least 150 miles from the border. So,
I saw that, yeah.
So these chases, are they pretty common down there in your area?
Extremely common, unfortunately. We have not seen, you know, and just to be clear, we haven't seen any numbers go down as far as apprehensions, gotaways, and smuggling pursuits. We haven't seen a drop in those numbers. The community hasn't felt a drop in those numbers. And yeah, smuggling it's a big concern. I mean, we live about 1 mile from the highway, and there are days where you can see the red and blues go blazing down the highway in an active pursuit. And then on others, I mean, we had an occasion where we had a DPS pursuit end on our property with a bailout, and we had a group of illegals and the driver that were running straight for our house. It's a constant concern, especially with school getting out, and then my kids are going to be home full time, and that's just an added weight of what we already have to endure on the outside of town. But also for these DPS pursuits, I mean, when there's a wreck, those that need to be airlifted out, and when you have multiple either casualties or significant injuries, they're depleting our medical resources. And I heard a couple weeks ago there was an FTUI that wrecked, and my husband was actually on scene to that, but I learned later that one particular wreck depleted an entire month's worth of emergency resources. I mean, it's one wreck. And what's concerning is what happens when we're a small community. What happens when, you know, one of us needs an ambulance? We call 911 and we are expecting to get help, and those resources are pulled and are 85 miles in the opposite direction, helping, you know, an FTUI wreck and helping illegals that are scattered across the highway. We as citizens then don't get that help. And there's been situations here, I believe in Kinney County, where a citizen actually died waiting for that 911 assistance that never came.
Incredible. That is incredible. That is something, you know, that people need to understand. Now, let me ask you about the horse patrol. People don't understand the expanse that we have in Texas along the border in some cases. I mean, it's pretty wide and open.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand that, you know, that the horse units that the Border Patrol agents on horse units do a lot of patrolling. Tell us a little bit about how long your husband has been doing that.
Well, sure. He's only been on this detail with the horses here in Del Rio sector for just a year now. and the horses, they're a phenomenal asset, and they allow the agents to get down into some of the rough terrain. I mean, there's canyons and brushes and, draws that are full of brushes that would make it impossible for vehicles to get to. And some of this terrain is, it's extremely difficult to even try to get through it on foot. So the horses are very essential in tracking some of these groups and some of the terrain that we have further west in Texas. And, they do a phenomenal job. And it's incredible at how these horses can read where groups are when they're active, and they know that there's people in the brush, and at the same time how well they take care of their riders too. It's incredible to see.
It's amazing. Really, really interesting. Once again, tell us what happens when a Border Patrol agent encounters people and detains them. What does that mean that they are processed, and what happens to those folks?
I mean, currently right now, there's supposed to be any group that gets apprehended, whether that is someone that is turning themselves into Border Patrol, or if it's a group that was worked that Border Patrol caught, those individuals are supposed to get basically booked in and processed, and they get their fingerprints rolled. They're entered into our system with their information. a background check would then be done, which, I mean, they get vetted. And based on Biden's policies, a vast majority of those individuals are getting released into our communities. They're not getting deported as they should be under our immigration laws.
Right. Right. We heard that there was a Taliban, an Afghan Taliban terrorist that's on the watch list that was picked up. And I think it was in the Del Rio sector. I'm not sure. Have you heard about that this weekend?
I did. I believe it was not Del Rio sector. I believe I don't know if it was Del Rio sector, honestly, but I just saw the report, and I'm not 100% sure what Del Rio or excuse me, what sector that was. I can't comment on where that was exactly, but I mean, it's not the first known terrorist that has come through here. So, I mean, my question is, when we have mass numbers of gotaways, how many more terrorists are already in our country that came through the same avenue, the same, using the same method and coming through the same way? I mean, there's countless more, and nobody has that answer, but there are already, they're here, they're in our country.
It's very disturbing. Very, very disturbing. Allison, thank you very, very much. Anything else that you'd like to add before we let you go?
I would love to add that, you know, God bless our Border Patrol agents. They're doing a heck of a job with what has been handed to them, and they deserve better than what is happening to them right now.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We've been speaking with our good friend, Miss Allison Anderson from Kenney County, right on the border here in South Texas. Thank you very much, Allison. Stay safe.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer. And we've got our good friend, or my good friend, Mr. Bob Bishop, blogger here in San Antonio, longtime resident. He also writes columns. He also writes articles and columns with or for Gateway Pundit, American Thinker, among others. And Bob has been helping me to do the videos out at the Migrant Center here in San Antonio for the past year. You can check those out at Bob Bishop or George Rodriguez on YouTube, and they are very, very good, my friends. So I wanted to get him on because we were just out there. Today is Wednesday, May 10th, one day before the lifting of Title 42. And there was a lot of activity out there at the Migrant Center here in San Antonio. Bob, welcome to the show. Give us your perception of what you saw today.
Today, I was absolutely shocked. I thought last summer in July and August and into September that we had a large crowd, but I've never seen anything like it today. When we were there, we had people sleeping outside lined up to get into the Migrant Center, which means the Migrant Center was already at full capacity. And there must have been 300 to 400 people sleeping on the sidewalks this morning, mostly young men, which is very disconcerting. And when you and I walked around across the street, we had some young men that were out there that were smoking pot, and clearly a very rough crowd. Now, one of the things I find very ironic, George, is that Mayorkas, who heads Homeland Security, they've talked about involuntary celibate violent extremists, and they suggest that that's young men that are citizens in the United States that are, quote, low status males, and that they won't have a romance or partnership with women, that they're very dangerous. But I find that not to be true, but I do find it to be true for all these young men that have entered our country. We don't know who they are. They're condemned to bachelorhood, and they have nothing to live for or nothing to lose, and they will eventually be inherently violent crime gang members like M13, which you saw in Los Angeles.
It is an absolute fiasco that we are seeing out there. We also saw this lady that had brought her pet along with her two kids, her little dog. And it seems to me like everybody that we've interviewed is not going to qualify. I mean, we've interviewed over 100 people, and I don't think any of them are going to qualify for asylum because they're all fleeing economic issues. What's your thinking about what we're going to do with all these people?
I really don't know, George. And, you know, they're transplanting them all through the country, and they're getting free tickets, which we saw today on one of the young males that we didn't record but interviewed, and they got it by charity. So we have a lot of money funneling through the government to various nonprofits who then feed it down into like Catholic Charities and some of these other nonprofit organizations. You know, it's like money laundering. And one of the things I did find is the FBI has created a incel pre-crime unit that monitors the internet, scanning for terms like red pill, great replacement, and all right. You know, it's really a misdirection. What it is that it's a guide that is a theme for Sal Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, where they pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And I really think, you know, that is an injustice to the citizens, the young males and the citizens in the United States, when in fact they're not really, you know, violent extremists. And one of the things the public may not know is Mayorkas last August had a non-public meeting with Mayor Nuremberg, with the police department, the FBI, and various leftist organizations about domestic violent extremism. Actually, that's not true. And, you know, one of the things we need to realize is that when there's a balance of male and female demography, it leads to a more stable and tranquil society. Well, with all these young men coming in, they have no hope for a future. And all they can do is turn to crime. So basically, with what we're seeing is we're just going to get much, much more of the same that we had last summer.
Yeah. And additionally is the issue of the defund the police movement that has been attempted here in San Antonio. The police officers have been told that not to bother anybody over at the migrant center. And, I mean, we saw some really... hard looking characters out there, young men.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I've got a neighbor friend who, you know, he runs various gift shops at the airport, and he says they've resorted back to sleeping in the airport again. So a lot of them, if they got a ticket just to get out of the migrant center, they go over prematurely over to the airport, and they're starting to sleep in the airport.
Wow. I'm not sure how that helps San Antonio's tourism, which they're very, very proud of here in San Antonio.
Well, it would be a welcoming committee. Welcome to Texas.
it really is. The other issue that's very, very fascinating to me, that's very interesting to me that we are watching, is also the number of cars that are parked around with people just sitting around. It seems like waiting for somebody or meeting somebody out there in the parking lot outside the migrant center. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think some of them are selling, you know, pot to the migrants and getting money from them.
Yeah.
Because when we were walking around today, we were smelling marijuana everywhere.
That's right.
So, you know, if they don't even obey our local laws, they're not gonna follow anything.
No, I mean, they're already getting into the habit of jaywalking, like we saw today, or smoking pot, and those are minor infractions. While at the same time, you've got the leftists in the city screaming and yelling about the police, about decriminalizing a lot of stuff within by the police. I mean, we're not heading down the right direction.
No, not at all. And I can't imagine that. You know, we've heard, you know, totals as high as 700,000 that are on the banks of the Rio Grande in Mexico ready to cross over. We don't even have facilities at DHS along the border to even handle them, let alone come to San Antonio. I think the next few days are going to be catastrophic for San Antonio.
Yeah, I really do. Not to mention for the rest of the nation's history, but definitely for San Antonio. I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know what they're going to do. The homeless population, and we've seen it, have documented that ourselves, is probably going to be soaring not before long.
Yeah, and you know, as much as the governor ships a lot of these individuals out, you know, using buses, we just don't have the capacity. One of the things you and I've noticed when we were there filming on the various interviews over the last since July is that they've had to pull out of mothballs a lot of these old school buses and metro buses and put them into play because they can't handle the volume on the charter buses.
That's right. That's right. So I would imagine they're going to have to get even more buses before long to accommodate 700,000 people. I can't. Incredible. So, buddy, here in conclusion, before we let you go, what would you tell the audience and the rest of Texas and the United States?
I don't know. I guess you're going to have to grow eyes in the back of your head for what we're going to be facing with all these young males.
Amen. That's true. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us, my friends. We've been listening. We've been chatting with our good friend, Mr. Bob Bishop, a writer, blogger for Gateway Pundit and American Thinker. And he's got tell them where they can follow your YouTube videos.
Well, it's pretty simple. If you just go to YouTube and type in bob.bishop, it'll pop right up. I got LinkedIn. You can go there. You can go to Twitter. So there's a number of different places, and you can follow a lot of the articles that I write. I write a number of exposés, and I was successful in a number of venues to use administrative law to discipline various organizations.
Got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got Sheriff Roy Boyd from Goliad County, Texas here. And Sheriff Boyd has been a regular guest with us. He's been involved very much with the issue of the border crisis. And he attended a recent meeting. We want to get him on here and see if he can share what he can with us about how the state is responding to this crisis that we're looking at. Sheriff Boyd, thank you very, very much for joining us today. And what can you tell us?
Well, thanks for having me on, George. I can tell you we've got a hell of a mess on our hands. I can tell you that. Last Thursday, I went down and had dinner with Senators Cruz, Marshall, Budd, and Hoeven. We're down in Brownsville. You know, they were down there to take a look at the situation on the ground. As you know, there were thousands and thousands of immigrants in Mexico that were looking to become illegal aliens in the state of Texas on the other side of the river. And, of course, that's caused a whole lot of attention. And the senators were down asking questions, taking a look at, you know, what the possible ramifications are, what the reality of what's happening on the ground is and the effects at the local level, along with possible solutions. Because, of course, as you and I both know, you know, the Republicans are in a minority in the Senate up in Washington, D.C., and therefore they are they're pretty powerless to do a lot. The administration controls how things are managed at the border with regards to Border Patrol and ICE and whatnot. And so, unfortunately, there's not a lot that those gentlemen can do to help us out in the near future.
The you know, the question that keeps coming up is what can the state do if supposedly this immigration issue is a federal issue? What can be done? What is the state doing with all of these folks that are coming in?
Well, you know, the first thing is, yeah, immigration lawfully is a federal issue. And that's why, you know, I'm not in the immigration business, don't want to be in the immigration business. We have to look at the criminality and what are the violations of state law that can be enforced, you know, by the state of Texas and by the local jurisdictions. And we have to enforce those laws that are already on the books. There's a lot of criminal activity taking place with this smuggling, including smuggling of humans, engaging in organized criminal activity, auto theft and conspiracy to commit various crimes. And we have to use those laws in order to protect the people of the state of Texas from the cartel criminals that are coming in and basically surging through our areas. Now, you know, the state, you know, law enforcement has that capacity. Now, the governor, from what I understand, has given orders to DPS and the state guard to go down and repel people at the water's edge, keep them from coming in. But apparently that message is not not received equally in all areas across the border, because as you know, down in Brownsville, DPS and the Guard were down there, and they actually repelled people back across the river, which, you know, Border Patrol was very happy about. But out in El Paso, I mean, it's like, hey, welcome here, boys, you know, come on in and get processed. So I think the key issue we've got with the state is, the state is big, the border is long. We have to have one message when it comes to enforcement and action, and that message needs to be concise, and those individuals who do not follow the governor's orders need to be terminated and got rid of. Because if you're not willing to do what he says, he gave you a lawful order and you didn't follow it, then you need to be gone.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's kind of where we're sitting right now. So we have a lot of people that aren't following the governor's orders because some minion in the middle has decided to give his own orders to his people.
Tell us about, I know that you're in contact with a lot of the sheriffs. Where are the hot spots right now as far as the smuggling and the illegal entry is concerned?
Well, you know, down there, the ones that were turning themselves in there for a while were coming in. McAllen was a hot spot. Brownsville became a hot spot, but because of the governor's efforts, and I've got to give Governor Abbott credit where credit is due, because of his efforts and the efforts of the Texas Border Czar, Mike Banks, they have gone down and directed some actions on the Brownsville area, beefed up the border. I sent you some pictures because I was down there, and many of those illegal aliens that were in Mexico have started moving west. So much of that activity is now being transported from the Brownsville Matamoros area across to be up closer to Eagle Pass and Del Rio. And there's an estimated about 10 days or so before they arrive and start trying to cross. And so, I can guarantee you that, Mike Banks is not going to sit around and just wait for it to happen. I guarantee you he'll be taking some action in order to ensure that the governor's desires are brought to fruition and they secure that area as well. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen shortly. As far as the smuggling efforts of the cartel and trafficking and smuggling people and vehicles, most of that has moved off to the west of us and is over between Eagle Pass and Sanderson. And that is in large part due to the task force effort that we put together and dismantled the main organization that was responsible for smuggling in this area.
Wow, amazing. Let me ask you this, because this past weekend I was driving and literally I got run off the road by a car chase, and it ended up later on that it was a teenager who was smuggling some folks, some illegal aliens. What happens in that kind of situation when either a minor or an adult are caught smuggling folks?
Well, and therein lies the problem, because what happens in Goliad County is not necessarily what will happen in DeWitt or Gonzales or Atascosa. It varies from county to county depending on who your sheriff is or your chief of police, who your district attorney and prosecutor are. In Goliad, we catch you smuggling people, then we arrest you for smuggling of humans. We arrest you for the evading if you run. We arrest you for engaging in organized criminal activity. There's a whole host of criminal statutes that you'll go to jail for. And all the illegals will also go to jail for engaging in organized criminal activity and what other crimes they are involved in during our attempted apprehension. But you go a county south or a county north, and, you know, one county may not even mess with it. They may just let you go. Another county may call Border Patrol.
Yeah.
There's no continuity to it because, you know, every county has its own I guess, identity, so to speak. And it just depends on who your sheriff and your DA really are, with regards to what's going to happen. Like I said, in Goliad, you come to Goliad and commit a crime, we're going to throw you in jail. That's just, it's that simple. I'm not going to tolerate it. This is going to remain a safe rural county for people to raise their kids in and work in. And the only way to do that is to make sure that criminals are unwelcome, and they damn well know they're unwelcome.
Yeah, because I know the sheriff here in Bexar County is more interested in prosecuting the governor of Florida for supposed human smuggling than to take care of the whatever is going on over at the migrant center, as well as chases that happen in South Bexar County nowadays. That's a tragedy.
Yeah. It appears to me that your sheriff in Bexar County is more interested in maybe getting himself a federal appointment under the Biden administration than he is protecting the good people of Bexar County like he's supposed to.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Before we let you go, anything else that you'd like to share with us about your activities and what is happening with this border crisis?
Well, you know, there's a lot of good men and women with the Border Patrol who are doing everything that they can to try to make sure that America is safe. Believe it or not, they are actually deporting people, but it's not on orders from Washington, D.C. It's on orders from people down at the field level who have enough authority to make things happen without permission from above.
Wow.
And it's taking place to the point of better than a 737 jet load being flown to, you know, third world countries every single day on the orders of local field supervisors with Border Patrol. And my hat's off to those guys that are willing to do that, knowing that it jeopardizes their career as a result of what's going on. Well, I will tell you this. I'm told that there has been a committee substitute written for House Bill 7, and that bill will hold a lot of the language that is needed for the Border Czar's agency to be formed. And I think people need to get out right away. There's a committee hearing on it on Thursday morning, and I think people need to call their senators, because that's where it's at now, is in the Senate, and they need to tell them that they support and they need the passage of this bill in order to move forward. Because if there's one thing I've learned in this whole fight, is that the governor picked the right man by getting Mike Banks. You're not going to see him on TV. You're not going to see him giving a lot of interviews, because he wants to be in the field and he wants to accomplish the mission the governor's given him. And by God, he's doing everything he can to do it.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very, very much. We've been talking with our good friend, Sheriff Roy Boyd from Goliad County, Texas. Sheriff, thank you very much for everything you do, and stay safe.
Hey, God bless you. God bless your listeners, and God bless Texas, George.
You got it. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Todd Benzman, from the Center for Immigration Studies, on this Sunday afternoon, May 14th. He has been very, very busy at the border, needless to say, the past few days. And we are catching him right now on this Sunday as he's driving back from McAllen. I wanted to reach out to him, catch him while we've got a chance, and ask him about what he is seeing and what he's written up. Todd, welcome to the show. Thank you, as usual, for being with us. We know how busy you are. Tell us, so what are you seeing at the border at this point, 3 days into the lifting of Title 42?
Well, it's the first time in 2.5 years that I've seen it quiet. So the lifting of Title 42 and the implementation of Title 8, which is its replacement policy, has the immigrants on the other side, and there are just tens and thousands of them. In fact, there are some reports that there are maybe as many as 600,000. I think that's a high one, but nevertheless, I mean, I know for a fact that there are huge, huge numbers over there that are just simply confused about how to best exploit the loopholes in it or the weaknesses in it. It's been sold by the Biden government as really tough as nails, by consequence, you know, deportations all the way back to homelands, bans on reentry prosecutions, and all of that. But when you read the fine language in it, you find that there are loopholes for everyone. And I think that the immigrants have not found those loopholes yet. It takes a little bit of time, but they will. And kind of like if you were to put a brand new roof on a new home, you want to kind of wait for the very first rain, because you know that the rain is going to find those leaks that still need to be fixed. So that's where we are right now. I don't believe that anybody should run a victory lap about this. I think that at some point in the near future, a week, 2 weeks, it'll start to tick back up as the immigrants on the other side figure out how to abuse the Title VIII expedited removal strategy. But right now, it's quiet. I mean, the last few days since Title 42 went away, it's been very quiet. Oh, and there's one other component to this, and that is the Texas Department of Public Safety with Texas National Guard rolled out a really aggressive new block them at the river strategy in the most vulnerable parts of the Texas border, where tens of thousands have very recently been pouring through. And I think that also is playing a decisive role in the quiet down there.
That's interesting, because I mean, we had hoped that would be the result, but it looks like it is working a little bit at any rate. Let me ask you about an article that you wrote, how the Biden administration is actually funding organizations that are helping the invasion, the migration into the United States.
Well, I think you're referring to a story that I broke four or five days ago before Title IV was lifted. And I was in Matamoros. So I've been there for the last 6 days, really, in Matamoros. And I was there because it was the epicenter of the last days of 42, when migrants were just flowing over thousands a day at Matamoros to Brownsville, because they were being allowed in there. And so I wanted to go there and see it for myself on the Mexican side. I'd seen it on the Brownsville side already a couple of weeks earlier. And what I started to notice was that large groups would be allowed by the Mexican immigration officials on the ground to pour into the river periodically. And they would all, storm across the river and then storm up the Texas side and then into the country, where the Border Patrol would process them all in. And then the Mexican immigration would, hold back the rest of them for an hour or two, and then all of a sudden let them go. And this would go on all day and all night. So finally, I noticed the pattern, and I asked the Mexican immigration officers what was going on back up. They said, "Oh, well, we're just waiting for the Americans to tell us when they're ready."
Oh, my God.
And when they're ready, we give the signal that, we can let another batch in.
That's outrageous. And so, that's incredible.
Right. I got that from five different Mexican immigration officers, none of whom knew each other, all along the riverbank, so I know it to be true. I did ask the CBP spokesperson and the press office for a comment in my phone and in writing, and never heard back from them. But it is the truth that they were using a WhatsApp chat room to coordinate illegal immigrant crossings over the river. And thank God that, as far as I know, nobody got hurt or drowned in that. The American government would certainly be held, could be held responsible if anybody knew about it. I guess they all know about it now, or some people do who read me. Nobody ever picked up my story, so I think I'm still the only one who has reported this. And it's remarkable, because it shows that that there's an American government at the highest levels that is acquiescing to illegal immigration instead of blocking, stopping, and retarding it, like as they are required to by law, by congressional mandate, that they are actually coordinating and orchestrating the entries.
Incredible.
With the Mexicans. And this is something that is, I don't know if we've been, I mean, if somebody's been doing this before, they've only been doing it because they've gotten away with it because nobody knew about it.
Wow.
But that the U.S. government is not stopping, blocking, deterring, and doing what they're supposed to under the law, but the exact opposite and putting immigrants at risk is, I think, a moral story as well as a legal story. And I think that if the, when the immigrants figure out how to abuse Title VIII and swamp the system, that we'll be seeing this again.
Yeah.
I think that the Americans will be, because the media has not picked up my story, which you can read at cis.org under my name. You'll find it down there about this collusion going on between the
incredible
American government and the Mexicans.
It is just
how people swim over.
Incredible.
Just incredible. Outrageous.
Let me ask you here. We've only got a couple of more minutes. What do you anticipate over the next couple of weeks happening? Do you think it will get worse? Do you think they'll continue to be a lull? I mean, what do you see?
Well, I'm a glasses half empty kind of guy. Can't help it. So I'm not optimistic, and I hope I'm wrong. But I do believe that the immigrants, there are just tens of thousands. I've been among them for a whole week interviewing them. They have, what the Biden administration wants them to do is stay there and will give them humanitarian permits to cross over legally, with no vetting either, by the way. 99% of the applicants get approved. It's just this, we're bringing them in through this other way. Don't come in illegally, come in anyway, under this other system, which will probably be struck down any day now. It's under court challenge. Those people have a very long wait in that line, even though the administration is giving out a lot more of those permits now. And if they get wind of the very first ones that are being allowed in under the new Title VIII, then they too will come. And I had just, 50 different immigrants tell me that they will not wait for CBP if they see anybody getting in under this new thing. They're going to go try their luck with it as well, in which case CBP will collapse and so will the border. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's inevitable. I was in a migrant camp, huge, huge, huge migrant camp, 15,000 Haitians over there. Just cannot wait to get over here, sick and tired of CBP one. And if any of those Haitians are being allowed in, I think we'll see them come in. We'll see the Venezuelans move to other parts where the Texas National Guard is not blocking them and try to cross in. I do think that we are all looking for the very first ones. What's going to happen with them? The very first ones, and that will tell the story of the rest of this mass migration crisis. I think this is a lull, a temporary lull, and I hope I'm wrong.
It is really a frightening time for us here in Texas. I mean, the closer to the border it is, the more frightening it is. Todd, thank you very, very much for taking time while you're driving back to talk to us and give us this update. Tell the folks where they can follow you so they can read and about your book.
Like the book, I literally have written the book on this border crisis. We're now in the third year of it, the greatest mass migration crisis ever in U.S. history, and I believe in world history. Overrun how Joe Biden unleashed the greatest border crisis in U.S. history. And then you can follow me on Twitter, Benjamin Todd. Getter, T. Benjamin at Getter, and I'm on Truth Social too. And I'm at Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. All my writings for them, as well as all my video and everything else from this last trip.
Gotcha. Safe travels, my friend, and we will get you back on, I'm sure, in the next few days as this drama continues to unfurl.
Thank you.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, thank you very much. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, here in San Antonio. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in to our show today. Please feel free to go to the website, to the KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer website. And you can download my show. You can share it with folks. Or you can just go to my Facebook page or my linked page or even email me and I'll send you a link. But the idea, my friends, that we really need your help with is to get the information out, to circulate it. People need to hear about what is happening to the at the border, near the border, and because it's coming to their backyard. I mean, we are already seeing the reaction of the mayor of New York over a few illegal aliens arriving in their city. Imagine, folks, what we are facing down here. Imagine that. I mean, a daily routine of hundreds, perhaps even thousands, crossing over. So we want your help in educating the rest of the country. I want to thank our guests, Miss Allison Anderson, Mr. Bob Bishop, Sheriff Roy Boyd from Goliad County, and my good friend Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies for being with us today. I really, really appreciate them. You'll want to hear our next guests for next week, my friends. In the meantime, let me remind everybody that we're always looking for advertisers for our show. If you're interested in advertising on our show to support it, please, please, please contact KLUP 930 AM Radio here in San Antonio, or send me an email or a link message or whatever, and we will contact you. Also, for those of you that are interested in donating a small amount to our nonprofit, please send it to He's Alive Ministries at 6430 Green Apple Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78233. Once again, He's Alive Ministries at 6430 Green Apple Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78233. Thank you very much for being with us. Till next week, George Rodriguez, El Conservador.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.